So what's going on, Muskie Harris?
Oh, good afternoon, Pat. I thank you for inviting us to come over here and share some of the great things that Martin Luther King Jr. stood for and what the community and society of the state of Arkansas and the United States have grown from the speech and the what education and time has done that really no one has control of those two great however you want to put it. I mean, there's no word for time but time, and education is powerful.
Sure, and I think it's pretty unique in this state. I have learned a lot more about the integration in terms of sports.
Yes.
And, you know, with my coach being Nolan Richardson up at the university, recently a book came out about him and kind of a lot of integration. Got to know Darryl Brown through the process. And
a lot
of it kind of, for me, I've just learned about the past couple of years.
Yes.
And I know you have somebody who's been championing all this and trying to educate everybody.
Right. Well, being the first of my culture, I'm the first African-American from Little Rock Central High to attend the University of Arkansas. Today,
can we get a shout out right here from Central? Is that Reggie Swinton?
And John Richardson was the first black athlete scholarship. Darryl Brown represents the first African American to
on the team.
Attend and walk on, but the NCAA recognized you as a scholarship player. Society should recognize Darryl Brown for the sacrifice he tried to make, and we still recognize Darryl for that also. But how my life changed from what happened in from Martin Luther King's dream and what happened from the Little Rock Nine, is society and time, just like I said, and education change everything. And somebody has to go through there to make the changes and uphold the tradition that we now have represent. I mean, you look in the mirror and the first time you see your culture, that's never going to change.
Right.
You are that. And you learn to respect that. You don't have to walk around and tell anybody else, hey, look at me, and I'm a proud black American. This, that shows with your actions. But also, you are obligated to hold the responsibility of that organization or the community or whatever you belong to. And that's what my parents told me.
Arvis Harper, North Little Rock man,
shout
old man.
Shout out North Little Rock.
You were up on the hill 74 through 78.
Yes.
And you were recruited by Norm DeBrine.
Coach DeBrine, yes.
Not through high school baseball, but American Legion.
No, North Little Rock never did have a high school baseball team. So back then it was mainly the American Legion. We went through the Little League and the Pony League and then American Legion, and that's where Coach DeBrine saw me.
So at the time, you were the first African Americans to receive a baseball scholarship?
I was the first, myself and Hank Thompson, and Hank is no longer with me, so I proudly represent him for both of us here. But at that time it was Hank and I, and it was kind of interesting how it all came about, because I really didn't start playing organized baseball until I was 11 years old, and that was started by someone that was very important to the community for a long time, Brother Paul Holderfield. He was my first baseball coach. Yeah, so that was pretty interesting, and how he had to go about doing that and getting me on his team was pretty interesting, too.
We're going to take a quick break, and I want to make sure we have one more break until the 12 o'clock hour, and I want to hear you talk about your recruiting process.
Yes.
Your thought process.
Yes.
Of being the first to go up there and play as an African-American, and kind of what people around you were saying, maybe your family members, and how you approach that, because I can't even imagine. I mean, I was like a little baby going up on the hill, and I mean, it was,
Pat,
I wasn't the first of anything.
I wasn't worried about my peer pressure. I was worried about Thessalonia Harris. That's who I lived in.
It's interesting, and I just love hearing the stories about how difficult it was, but how positive and how tough-minded that all you guys, I'm not going to say all you old guys, but you know where I'm getting at this. We'll be back in the zone. Right. Stay tuned. We'll hear Arvis Harper's story and Muskie Harris, and, of course, Reggie Swinton is still here. This is The Zone on the Buzz Radio Network. It's Pat Bradley here alongside Reggie Swinton. Freaky Joe Franklin is back there holding it down.
He sure is.
Of course, Muskie Harris and Arvis Harper, and Muskie is with the, well, you represent, of course, and we're going to get to Arvis' story here. I asked him to hang on. That was somewhat of a tease because everyone that was listening said, wait a second. Wait a second. I want to hear the story.
Yeah.
But then, see, our advertisers were happy, though, that we waited till this end. The Mosaic Templars Cultural Center, a museum of African-American history, and we're going to talk more about that.
That's right.
We got you guys until 12:30, so we got a lot we got to talk about.
Oh, yes, yes. Let's let the public know.
Arvis, before the break, you were going to tell us the story about you recruiting, and were you surprised knowing that you were going to be the first? There was nobody like you up there in the baseball team. So was it just the process of how that came to be?
Just kind of thank you, Pat. Kind of a little brief history. I'm listening to the Martin Luther King speech,
mm-hmm.
and Hank and I listened to that a lot, and we took that to heart.
Where is he? Where is he from?
Hank was from Monticello.
Okay.
Yeah, and he and I did. He and I had many talks, and I'll come to that. But just real briefly, there's some wonderful people that I'd like to thank real quickly.
Yeah,
that,
absolutely.
That were very important in my journey, should I say. Now, first of all, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who I give all the credit to and the glory to. Then my parents, Arvis Harper and Catherine Harper, Arvis Harper Sr. and Catherine Harper, who were very instrumental in my everyday walk in life. I love them dearly and tremendously. And my sisters, Kathy Jackson and Letitia, Kelly and Carlos, her husband. And
A village to raise somebody.
Yes, it does.
Now.
And I had a village.
Hey, I can tell you probably a handful. You
yes,
know?
I did. Started with my coach, my first coach, Brother Paul Holyfield,
mm-hmm.
who I loved and was a second father to me. And then in Pony League, I went to Jack Coburn. Jack and Nellie Coburn were very instrumental. They were second families to me. And then to American Legion, where Jack coached, and my father coached me also. My father was one of my coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But it was during that time, I was just like all young baseball players. I had the dreams and aspirations of playing ball and playing as best as I could, best I could. And I never really thought about,
you probably didn't think about being a baseball player at Arkansas because had never been an African-American player.
Back then, it was football. I was the first black quarterback at Old Main High. At that time, it was Old Main High School.
Right, right.
And
Wildcats.
So,
yeah.
The Wildcats.
And you are old, man. No, I'm just kidding.
And then, we had basketball. I played basketball.
Right.
So baseball was really not a major sport back then. And so it was something that we did during the summertime. And so I played and play with American Legion with Janice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during that time, we were playing pretty good, and I was playing pretty good. And
well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Did you ever ask your friends or your parents or anybody around, say, why isn't there any African-Americans getting recruited or getting signed or any scholarship offers? It's just you didn't even ask. You didn't even think.
I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't raised to see color. I was raised to be the best that I could. My parents' character was important. And that was the main thing that my parents instilled in me more than being athletic. The character was first,
mm-hmm.
and the education, and then the athletics. And so that was not an issue at the time. And so I was playing with all my friends, and we were all black and white friends, and there was not a color issue during that time. At least I didn't see it. And we were pretty successful. And then Coach DeBrian, I got in contact by Coach DeBrian. I made a couple of all-star teams over the time and got the attention evidently of Coach DeBrian. And he came down and he met with me and met with my parents and told them that he was interested in giving me a scholarship. And at that time, like I said, baseball was kind of a second.
Sure, yeah, right.
So I had football scholarships. And so I was sitting down with my parents and we were trying to decide. I had several football scholarships and I had one baseball scholarship, except for that one baseball scholarship was to the university.
That's right. That's the flagship.
It was a Razorback, man. Right. And I wanted to be a Razorback, man. So made the decision to become a Razorback. And when I came up to Fayetteville, I never thought about being the first.
Did Coach DeBrian address that issue in the recruiting process?
No.
Never once.
No one ever talked about color.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they didn't, because I didn't want that to be an issue going up. It was obvious it was, but I didn't want that to be a major deciding factor of why I was going to Fayetteville. I wanted it to be because of my athletic talent.
Sure.
And my character, not strictly because of my color. And when I got there, I didn't receive from the baseball team, from the players that I played with, I didn't receive any anything.
Right.
But outside
any different
of
treatment,
that, any different treatment. But outside of that, it was different.
Did you feel any sense of pressure being the first?
I didn't. That being the first was just that was not.
Didn't even think.
No,
just went up. Yeah.
No, I had the pressure of being one of the best.
Sure.
You know, I wanted to be one of the best, and Hank and I talked about that, and that's what we strive for. We kept trying to get better every day. We kept trying to learn every day. We tried, and really, a lot of the conversations that Hank and I had were not dealing with baseball. It was dealing with outside baseball, maintaining our character, maintaining our composure.
What was the culture like in that time? You were in mid-70s in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Yes.
Can you kind of paint what was going on nationally and what was going on in the Ozarks? You know, because I was born in 76, so it was a different – right, I mean, it was – I can't – all I can do is read about it and watch TV documentaries. Correct. So I can't even begin to kind of see it from that point of view, what it was like getting grown. But it's much different when somebody's 18 now and they go up and start playing athletics.
Well, it was during that time off the baseball field, it was difficult. Hank and I had to be careful on campus. We had to be careful.
You go ahead. We have about this is the hard break, and we're gonna. We got about a minute left.
Okay, we had to be careful, really on campus, mm-hmm. and we had to really go with each other, and we had to support each other, and we had other friends that watched, and we just kind of had each other's back. Off campus was extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, he and I hardly ever went off campus unless we went as a group, or, you know, there were still time. You know, that was during the time when. I still remember
football team.
The football team. We had a lot of there was a lot of intermingling, like football and baseball. We all had each other's back,
right?
We all watched for each other.
I want to ask you a little bit about the travel too.
Yes,
around when you were traveling and what that experience was, and talked to Coach Richardson a lot about that too when he was in college. We're gonna hit the hard break after this break. We'll continue with Muskie and Arvis and Reggie Swintown. So stay tuned to The Zone on the Buzz Radio Network.
All right. Let's go. From the Fury Electric Studios, you're in The Zone with Justin Avery, Pat Bradley, and Joe Franklin.
Doesn't need his name up in lights, he just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat of the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know.
I just can't say enough about the players today. They they obviously did a great job. We had a good week in the bye week, and I think we got a lot of things done. And then once we found out who we were playing, I think these guys really did a good job of focusing on target, and they were obviously ready to go today.
My main man, Bill Belichick.
I love
cloud
it. Doing
nine
it again.
Right now.
Oh,
cloud nine.
Feels good, fellas.
It's
feels
all
good.
Business. It's all business, man.
Sweatshirt and all.
That's right. Yeah, the man in the sweatshirt, right?
The weather is not a factor.
Although it's nice out here. Pat Bradley, Freaky Joe Franklin, Reggie Swinton, Muskie Harris, Arvis Harper, all here in the Zone Studios. Actually, it's the Fury Electric Studios. And kind of going to go a little off the board. We usually do our entertainment report at 12 o'clock hour, but you know what? It's MLK Junior Day holiday, so we got three fine young men in the studio, and of course, always have Freaky Joe, but it's an acre-free zone.
Right. Hey, we want to appreciate your the owners of this station.
Yes.
I've been knowing them, working with them for the last 5 years, and the Johnson family.
Yes.
And I appreciate them allowing us to use this platform, because 103.7 The Buzz Signal Media is the heartbeat of Arkansas. If you want to say something positive, you're going to get some feedback. And you say something ignorant on here on the radio.
Yeah, I know that. Leave that up to me, Muskie. You say the positive stuff, I'll say the ignorant stuff. You know what I'm saying? We also have a little live fan feedback if you want again, or if you want to call in, 501-433-1037. We still got Reggie Swinton in here. You can ask him an NFL question. Muskie and Arvis are here. And just before we get back to the story. And Muskie, I want to talk to you also about what you guys are doing over there. A little live fan feedback. Jim and the Rock. Tammy and the Rock. Is Mr. Bradley having difficulty with the big bad board? Yes, I am. There's a lot of buttons blinking here. There's a lot of knobs. Everybody here can attest that there's a lot going on. So, yeah.
Punch one of them blue buttons.
This guy ain't touching nothing. I already screwed something up. Jason and Brian say, hey, I miss Jeff's daily double picks. Can you tell me them? Yes, I will. If you hang on here in a little bit, Jason, I'll pick those back up and get into you. Jason also says it's 13 scholarships regularly, but we only have 12 this year because the APR, 13, not 12. And he also says he'll be eligible, talking about Nurdine Lindsay, the transfer from St. John's will be eligible after next December. So he will have to sit out this season. And I will get to more live fan feedback in a moment. My man Muskie.
Yes.
Okay, tell me a little bit now. You have a brochure here. It says African Americans in Arkansas, 1870 to 1970. Is this a special deal that you're having at the museum?
Right. Well, that brochure is one of the standard brochures that the Arkansas Department of Heritage distributes with the Mosaic Temples Cultural Center, which is one of the 13 museums that the state of Arkansas recognized. And it's designed for showing the African-American footprint in society. And some people call me when we first started thinking it was in conflict with the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame. We are not in conflict with the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame. Ray Tucker and his committee over there are doing a great job. I used to be on the board, one of the first African-American on the board. And they're designed to acknowledge the sporting and Hall of Fame individuals, but the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center recognized the African-American history.
Okay.
And we also feed into the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame so that Ray can kind of keep a pipeline open of people that needs to be recognized by the organization over there. And the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center, to me, Pat, is using a museum, and a museum dictates, shows how a culture has grown, what has happened, individuals that once was here and not here, and individuals that are even live when kids come in.
A lot of stories that I've learned by going over there. It's located 501 West 9th Street in Little Rock.
Right at the corner of 9th and Broadway.
Yeah, we've done the radio show from there, and it's a fantastic exhibit. It is good. I mean, I've learned so much, and you got a chance to appreciate, too.
Right. This year, we're going to be recognizing the women from the University of Arkansas that we'll be able to talk more about on the show.
Yeah.
But we want people, and especially even the Razorback fans, that we are all, once you are under that helmet, you never lose your identity of your culture. You now represent an organization, and that's what you're proud of. But you also should be proud of your culture, because that's never going to change. And this is another recruiting tool that we can have here in the state of Arkansas that would help our kids that grow and go and know that their history is being kept, and people can see how they can help improve our Razorback team.
Sure.
I had a man ask me this, and I'm going to tell everybody on the radio. It says, why are Alabama blacks better than our blacks?
How do you answer that question?
It's recruiting, and it's their culture base and some of the things that they're doing down there in the community.
Mm-hmm.
That I want to work with Jeff Long, the Board of Trustees, Foundation, and we can do the same thing. And it needs to be done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true diversity, isn't it?
Sure, absolutely.
Bring all the organizations together and take the feedback, because when a player leaves the University of Arkansas or any school, you're just leaving major corporation, and you're a performer, and it's over with. And you only perform for 5 years, and you're in your paying, and Reggie, you know what I'm talking about from the NFL, which they have really developed their PAN, which acronym for Post Athletic Network, because you're in that era a lot longer the rest of your life than you are while you perform.
And it's difficult for an athlete because, that is your identity up until 30. 31, you know, if you do get an opportunity to play in the NFL or NBA, professional, yeah.
Yes, that's the what the fellowship and the unity of what our Letterman's Club should be about. And I'm looking forward to our Letterman's Club stepping back up here in the state of Arkansas and taking the reins and getting out here and developing the mentoring programs that the people expect of us. Because people don't think that Razorbacks have problems. And we do.
They have problems just like everybody else.
We're human.
Yeah.
We're human.
Reg, do you, when you were coming through, I know you got, you went to Central.
Mm-hmm.
Muskie's a Central guy.
Tiger.
Were you aware of some of the things that Muskie did and some of the guys that had come before you? Was that something that, you know, I think one of the great things Muskie's doing with the museum is an awareness, but also I think taking younger kids and teaching them gives them that motivation, gives them that support group, and know that somebody had been there and done that before.
You're aware if you take out the time to go find out. It's not something that they just put in you and, you know, I guess make sure you know when you're there. It's something you have to take upon yourself to go find out. And you know, I knew Muskie way back then because my father knows him. And so my father told me about him.
Right. Had you, you got to go check out this museum. Is a fantastic place. Arvis, before we talked about that travel in the Southwest Conference, and I'd heard some stories about it,
right,
and how difficult that the travel could be, mostly with Coach Richardson's 40 Minutes of Hell book that he had talked some about that. So what were some of the experiences that you had gone through? I guess you and Hank Thompson together were fortunately, I guess you did have some support with him there that you could go through that stuff with somebody. When you hit the road, I can't imagine traveling all the way down through Texas, though, Muskie. This is
well, we didn't have any racial problems of checking in a hotel during my time. I mean, whenever we got on the plane, and you know, on the Coast Broads, we didn't ride too many buses. You know, we flew.
Oh, he didn't like that. He didn't like that, that road.
Yeah, now the budget. Now I don't think they allowed him to fly point A to point B. They'll fly here and then bus back. But we always stayed in first class operation. But I know in Arvis them in baseball.
Wasn't quite the same?
It wasn't quite the same.
They had
a lot of white vans. Yeah.
Did you really?
We had convoys going down the road.
There's strength in numbers like that.
But it was because, again, you know, looking back, Hank and I were the only two black players there.
Mm-hmm.
And really to the only two on the team traveling. So we were very aware. We were made aware, especially when we went on the road. And considering we were in the Southwest Conference, so we were the only team outside the state of Texas.
So they hated you anyway,
right? They hated us. I mean,
how was the team, the talent? Did you guys win some games?
Yes. In fact, it was the year right before was the year that Johnny Ray and those guys went to the World Series.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it was a buildup, and it was a character builder, just put it that way.
And Arvis was drafted, but Johnny Ray was probably the most heralded and highest draft pick.
Right, and I was sent to recruit Johnny Ray. In fact, Coach O'Brien sent me to Oklahoma to recruit Johnny Ray to have him come back to
Arkansas. Take him off for a little bit.
And Johnny,
what
and
position
had,
did you
we
play?
We had some interesting conversations.
What position did you play?
I was an outfielder.
Okay, so what was your strength?
Switch hitting.
In fact, that was...
Yeah,
switch hitting. It was probably one of the – I was able to hit with power from both sides, and I think that's what drew a lot of the attention to me.
And Coach Bryan made history, and still the University of Arkansas has this history. In 1985, five black athletes started a College World Series game in 1985. University of Arkansas.
That says a lot.
And today I think they only had – I think of four teams over there last year, they had five – black players of all four teams total.
Mm.
And that tells you how quickly things move because,
right,
see, back then there wasn't very many black players in the whole Southwest Conference. Not just, you know, in Arkansas with Hank and I, but in the whole Southwest Conference.
So when after, I guess, you guys got a scholarship in 74, he came in with you in 74. How quickly did the league and the baseball team progress in terms of integration? Were you guys – there, you saw from what you guys had done that there was a lot more African-American players?
We saw from, and that was another thing that Hank and I talked a lot about, because we would look more off the field than on the field.
Right.
And how we carried ourselves and how we conducted ourselves made a huge difference to the upcomers, the guys that were coming, and we knew that. And we were very aware of that every day that we were playing, every day we went to the field, every time we did something off the field, that was forefront in our minds.
What do you think now, with you look at Major League Baseball, and there's not a lot of black inner city kids playing in Major League Baseball, right? I mean, it's shifted now. There's a lot of
NFL,
Latin players.
NFL and NBA is so polished that a kid at 3 years old, you either want to play football or basketball.
Right.
And now the athletes have kind of the time of playing college basketball dominates and it's taken away track and baseball. And, you know, football, some of them try to be two sports. But that time that you used to concentrate to go from one sport to the next sport to the next sport.
It's not there anymore.
It's gone.
Yeah. Well,
the major difference, the major difference I've seen is that the younger kids today, back when we were growing up, we were playing because it was fun.
Sure.
Okay, we were wanting to have fun. We were, you know, it wasn't that competitiveness like it is today. I mean, they're starting out at an early age.
Oh, and it's
hard.
A purpose. I've talked to a lot of young kids and their parents how they're putting them through these AAU games of training for a purpose. They want to get a scholarship, so it's almost like a business to them, whereas, it was fun.
And see, back then, and that's the reason why I appreciate the people that were surrounding me, is because they helped me turn a game I built into the competitive. Mm-hmm. I grew into the competitive part of it. It wasn't something that was thrown upon me right off the bat, and then I just, you know, you get that grind, you get that burnout when it's thrown up on you that early of age, and you look at the game totally different. It's not fun. It becomes something else.
What was your relationship with the basketball players, football players up on campus? Was it sort of like you searched out? I can't imagine seeing Muskie Harris running around Fayetteville, because that must have been a scary
situation. I had hair then, let me tell you. I had a fro. You know, you couldn't get a haircut up there. So can you imagine a black trying to get a haircut? Well, you go, we had Afro Sheen sent up on the bus. You know, we had blow cones, and we'd blow it out.
But see, that's the difference now, though, because back then we were all in one complex.
Yes.
Okay.
The
baseball, everybody. Football, everybody was in. So, we had
Wilson Sharp.
At Wilson Sharp.
Dressing rooms and everything. And I remember some of my fond memories of when we pulled the basketball goal in the inside complex.
Yeah.
And we were playing basketball, football players, baseball players were playing basketball together. You know, I was playing against Dirk Winston and Dan Hampton.
So, when you go up there and do you visit campus often?
The last time I was up, they honored me at one of the baseball games, and I was very honored and thrilled and very thankful for being honored by the university, and they did a great job. I got a chance to go up and see some of the great new facilities, you know, and saw some of the things I hadn't seen. And I had a warm, wonderful welcome by the baseball team up there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great guys up there. And they really did. They really treated me well, and I'm very appreciative to the university for that.
Yeah, they've done a good job with that whole facility out there.
Job.
It's top of the line. I don't think you can find a better place in the entire country.
No. It's all first class of what Coach Broyles was telling us about and envision. And back to where you heard artists articulate when Coach DeBryan got a hold of them. Well, same thing, Pat, when we coming through, it was a little bit more pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Broyles, you know, I had Dennis Winston, Harvey Hampton, Johnny Meadows, Elijah Davis, Barnabas White, late Bruce Mitchell. We all had the meeting, and Coach Broyles told us, you know, gentlemen, this is your first you're now into major corporation.
Mm-hmm.
You're a performer. You know, the stands must be
fulfilled. Absolutely. Yeah, they got to be filled. The money that you're bringing in, responsibility of carrying on the tradition.
And, you know, there was an acronym out there at that time during a lot of the colleges recruiting. It was BFG, you know, Black, Fast, and Good. And that's the way you was being recruited.
Mm.
Where now, as you see, it's Q, qualified Black, Fast, and Good. You know, if you don't make the grades, I don't care how fast you are, you're not going to get a chance to play represent that university. And I'm proud to see all of that level of and the education level of athletics have improved. And camaraderie, like I said, of what the former athletes and what the new administration, we have to merge together so that the kids now have good mentorings.
Absolutely.
Of coming out, because they are lost when they come off the
field. Well, we were talking with Reggie. I talked to him last night, and he's actually dealing with so many injuries from the NFL. And a young guy,
yes,
who has been through that and now trying to turn that corner, but yet still affected by what he had been through.
All right, thank God for Celebrex. For me, I mean, I was taped up, wrapped up, taped up, but, you know, you had to perform.
Well, people look at Reggie and say, well, he's an NFL player for X amount of years. He's all set, doesn't have to worry about anything not taken care of, but knowing Reggie personally,
he's spending all his money on his health.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's it, sure. Yeah. And, I mean, it's tough, you know, for those guys, for guys like you, who every day it's a battle, and you did a show, you loved it, and that was a decision you had that you made, but it's not the whole picture of really what goes on.
Well, when you're playing then, you don't think about, you know, 9, 10 years down the line. You're playing right now, you're making all this money, and you're having fun, and you're traveling, and you're meeting people. But then once you're done, 5, 6 years once you're done, now all the injuries settle in.
Well, that's the thing, Reggie. Mark Schlereth was on with the Morning Guys.
Right.
And they talked about injuries. And you heard the whole thing about, well, yeah, you can play when you're hurt, but you can't play when you're injured.
Right.
Well, he said, and I'm sure you could talk about this, the truth is you play when you're injured and hurt because you don't want anyone to take your spot.
You have to.
You have to.
You know, in fact, my last year, I tore a ligament in my toe, and I had a split contract. So if I couldn't play, I got half of my money.
That's right.
So I had to play. So what I did was on game day is I take 7 shots.
That's right.
I take 7 shots just to play. Because I wanted my full contract. I didn't want half of my contract.
You know,
it's a saying, if it's above the waist, you're out. If it's below the waist, you're in.
And so I'm playing 14 straight weeks with 7 shots every game day.
And you're not thinking. Yeah, but now.
No, because you want your money and you want it right there. You don't want them giving you half of your money.
Let me ask you this. With all your injuries, and we're joined by Reggie Swinton, who many know as the Central High legend, Murray State racer, NFL, former NFL player. Arvis Harper, former Razorback baseball player, 74-78, and Muskie Harris. Are you the executive director? What was that? What are you in for the Mosaic?
I'm chairman of
the
committee.
Mm-hmm. Of course you are, chairman. Reg, going back and now with your injuries, would you change anything? Would you have gone through and playing through what you did?
I think I would do it again because of my passion for the game.
Knowing now what you're going through with your knees, your ankles, your arms.
I was taking care of my body a little more back then. See, back then, I was just going.
Yeah.
I was just blowing and going, not knowing that I'd be 36 one day and hurt. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't cold tub enough. I didn't ice enough, and things I should have been doing that Jerry Rice told me to do.
Yeah.
But I didn't do it because I was 25 years old having fun. You know?
See? Muskie, you need to get a hold of this guy be a part of what you're doing to help these young kids.
We got our number. We are working to get his communication in there. I had a fear that if I was not going to be successful, you know, of coming home, you know, so I played with a real relentless, crazy passion, and sometimes they wouldn't let me practice because I'm going to hurt you.
Gentlemen, we are going to take a quick break, and last night was the Golden Globes.
Yes, I saw it.
We have our friend from MTV, Brianne's going to come on briefly, talk a little bit about that. We had that scheduled, but you guys can hang out.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Go right ahead.
If I may, before I stop, I had such a wonderful experience at Fayetteville when they honored me, and we were talking about the great facilities there, one of the best in the nation. They also have one of the best athletic departments in the nation.
Yeah, they do.
I have a tremendous respect, love, and respect for Eric Wood. He treated me, the assistant athletic director there, and Jeff Long. I have a tremendous love and respect for him. Both of them are tremendous people, as well as tremendous representatives for the state of Arkansas.
They're definitely accessible guys, and we appreciate that. Being in the radio and, you know, former athletes, we appreciate that. We'll be back. You're listening to The Zone on the Buzz Radio Network. Welcome back to The Zone. 12:33. Joined by Reggie Swinton, Muskie Harris, Arvis Harper, and Brianne Heldman is on the line from nextmovie.com. We're going to get right to her, but I know, Reg, you got to take off.
Yeah.
But you want to drop us a little knowledge on us first.
Yeah, you know, speaking of injuries, you know, I've been to California, I've been to Florida, Atlanta. I'm leaving at 7 o'clock tonight going to Chicago. Then I got to fly to New York and San Antonio. And I'm seeing all these doctors about my back and about my knee and my shoulder and my brain damage. On a scale from 1 to 10, the doctor in California said my brain damage was a 6. So some of y'all may say, well, we already knew you had brain damage. but now it's legal brain damage. I have real bad memory. So, you know, football is brutal.
Yeah.
And I force my kids towards baseball right now because, you know, it's bad that people like us have to go through this. So imagine what running backs go through and linebackers. Guys will get hit every play.
Right.
You know, I rarely got hit, and I'm dealing with these type of things. So
in other words, when the guy's holding out on his contract, try to get more money, and
he deserves it because, right. I mean, it's bad. I mean, we get hurt, and it's 4 or 5 years after we're done that we're hurting and really hurting.
Yeah.
You know, I can't sit still because my back is constantly burning me and hurting. So
the game hadn't changed. It's 11-1. It's 11-1. Whoever has the ball is 11 people trying to kill you. That concept hadn't changed.
I never thought about that. But I appreciate y'all having me on.
Reg, thanks, man. Thanks, take care of yourself. And we'll stay in touch.
Okay.
For sure.
And if you can, follow me on Twitter at Reggie Swinton.
Oh, he's funny now on Twitter. Reg, be good, man. We'll be praying for you. Hope everything works out. Let's go to the phone, fellas. Talk with P. Moore. What's up, P. Moore? How you doing, man? You're in the zone.
Doing good. How y'all doing?
Fantastic, how you doing, buddy?
I was wanting to ask about what they thought about Raheem Morris. Maybe people, I think he might have got the chaff.
Raheem Morris, yeah. I believe he just got hired
by the Redskins.
By the Redskins, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And,
as assistant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the assistants, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the cutthroat business of the NFL. Win, keep your job,
tough,
lose,
yeah.
You're gone.
That's it.
Yep.
So, but then I think they're looking at Sherman from A&M, Schottenheimer, and Childress. Out of them three, who would y'all want to play for?
Schottenheimer.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know what them Blazers are going to do about who they're going to hire, but I think Schottenheimer probably would be the best.
I mean, right. He was good at Kansas City, went out to San Diego and was good, and just kind of ran in one of those situations where the players didn't perform on the field, and the coach is gone because they don't pay to see the coach.
Yeah, right.
And Muskie,
yes.
Gonna run against
BB? Will I run against who?
BB. Oh, you want to run for governor?
Yeah.
Governor Harris. That's a good ring to it. Governor Muskie.
I can balance the budget.
All right, man. Appreciate it, P. Moore. Let's before I give out our big buck question, we'll take Sid in Little Rock. What's up, Sid?
Hey, Sid. Hey,
Pat. Hey, buddy. Good talking to you, Sid.
I want to talk to Muskie. Speaking of good black people that were instrumental in society, I want to give a big shout out to Gene Gibbons and Joe McClain. You know, they both passed not long ago.
That's right. Those are fathers of sobriety here in the state of Arkansas, though, as far as I know.
Yes, sir, they are. And I'm on my road to recovery. I'm trying to do right and, you know, get things, you know.
I'll be picking my 15-year coin up on April 4th.
Yeah, I know. I remember you used to come by the gist house quite a bit.
Thank you.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Sid. I appreciate the call, man, and we're here for you, buddy. Okay, Big Buck Classic. We have the giveaway. I don't know if Freaky Joe Franklin is
this
where
they have the snakes in the pit out there?
That is, they do have the snakes in the pit. Yes, sir.
That's why I haven't attended.
But, Joe, what are they giving away?
Well, it's the 22nd annual Bell Chevrolet Arkansas Big Buck Classic, the truck giveaway. There's a chance to win a 2011 Bell Chevy Silverado. And all you have to do is call in between now and January 26th, between 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. for your chance to qualify, and then you could possibly win this 2011 Chevy Silverado, courtesy of Bell Chevrolet.
Okay, Freak, I got a trivia question. And what we're going to do is we're going to allow people to answer the trivia question. If they're correct, then they're a qualifier, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it. Here's the question. We have Muskie Harris in studio right here. Arvis Harper's also in studio. But Muskie Harris played in one bowl game when he was an Arkansas Razorback. That's true, right?
That's true.
One bowl game. If you know about the time Muskie played in, you'll be able to figure it out when. It could be thought of as the best bowl game in the history of the Razorbacks. So let's go right to line number 3. Robert.
Yes.
To win the qualifying position, what is the one bowl game Muskie Harris played in?
And you said the best one in Arkansas history?
Could be. Could be. We'll see. Time will only tell, my friend.
Yes.
Could be. Oh, mercy. You got me going in Orange Bowl against Oklahoma, I believe, bud.
Man, hey, you know what? Robert is a huge Razorbacks fan, so you gave it away when you said the best one right there.
Well,
gave
it
away
to
him.
Well, you know what? I'm glad I went to the right guy.
That's right.
Hey, Robert, hang on, and Freaky Joe will get your information.
All right.
Okay, buddy, you got anything you want to say?
Hey, great show today in the Acres Free Zone, even though he's good too. But y'all had some great, great people on there today. It's been enjoyable to listen to.
Well, I appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
Man.
Thank you.
Yeah, y'all
Thank
have
you.
A great day.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you
We're going
to
put you on hold, Robert. That was good. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, we did have a good day. Thanks to Reggie Swinton. Came up, talked a little NFL football with us. And, gentlemen, I know you guys probably watched a game from over the weekend. And as painful as this is, I think Acre didn't show up because this is not how he wanted the post-game press conference to go, courtesy of Aaron Rodgers.
This team, this organization, this fan base expects championships. Yeah, you know, we had a championship caliber regular season and didn't play well today.
No, you didn't play that well today. But I tell you, one person who did, whose team who did, and that's Eli.
Big play in the game. Give us the lead. Give us all the momentum going into halftime, and a 10-point lead right there into the half. And then our defense just continued to play great offense. We hit some big plays when we needed it in the second half.
I've always been an Eli fan. Always.
I think people struggled with where to place him because of Peyton Manning's success. And I think Eli's approach, when you hear him talk, he's not as tough or rugged. He just doesn't take control of the room
like most people would anticipate. He looks like Howdy Doody, and that's what everybody's just thinking. Oh, he's just a Howdy Doody, but he beats your booty. You know?
Well, he gets it done. I think, really, he called himself an elite quarterback over the summer.
He sure did.
And I don't think you can say that when Eli Manning's your quarterback, and a lot has to do with, obviously, the Giants have a great team defensively, and they have a lot, Coach Coughlin is fantastic. They got weapons, but certainly with him being your quarterback, you got a chance no matter what. So
Right.
Let me get a pick. Arvis, you first. Super Bowl pick? Who's playing in it and who you got winning?
Oh, that's a good question. I've got New England and
Now you can just stop right there. New England the whole way. That's good with me, Arvis. What do you think, Muskie?
I'm going for the underdog.
Who that?
San Francisco.
Okay, that'd be a good game. San Fran is hosting.
I thought that was one
Giants.
Of the best physical display of defense that I've seen in a long time. I mean, when they hit you stopped.
Yeah. Gentlemen, tonight is going to be the first Colas Williamson's Coaches Show. We have mic'd up with Mike Anderson in Fayetteville at 7 o'clock on the Buzz.
Right.
And then Coach Williamson – UCA, they got a nice win over the weekend.
Sure did. He's doing good. He's doing
my
good.
My boy Justin Acree is going to be hosting that. That's going to be in Conway. They're going to be hosting
Justin
it.
That we know?
The Justin Acree we know. The one who doesn't show up for work anymore. Yeah. That's the guy we know. So you can make sure you stay tuned. I'll go by and hang out with those guys. But 7 o'clock is mic'd up with Mike Anderson, and 8 o'clock is Coach's Show with Corliss Williamson. So, gentlemen, I appreciate it. Musk, is there anything else that you want to say before we hit the top of the hour? We about a minute left.
Something reiterating what Arvis was saying. It takes a lot of people in your life to help change. And the families of the Coleman family, the Blass family, the Block families, Rosens, Williams, the Cross family, the Burden families, and I didn't really want to say start in the families, but those families were so instrumental in my life. The Mr. Charles Bussey, Mr. Thrasher, the club was named after. Those people were their envision and insight. And then the late Alan Berry and Mrs. Mildred Berry, who ran War Memorial Stadium, and that's where I started that.
Fantastic.
I got to give a shout out to all my wonderful 7 children that I have.
I got 0.
Spread the love, Arvis. Spread the love.
So, Melissa Harper Grimes, Arvis Harper III, Christy Harper, Lisa Harper, Joshua Harper, Jacob Harper, and Isaiah Harper.
And that's you almost got a whole football team working out there, don't you? That's good. Thank you again, guys. We appreciate
thank
it. Freaky
you,
Joe Franklin,
family.
Fantastic job. Thanks again. We'll be back tomorrow in the zone. We'll talk Hogs Hoops getting ready for Kentucky. And my man will be back,
I'll
Justin Acri.
MLK back tomorrow, too.
MLK.